Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to talk a little while what the Bible says about faith tonight. The word faith occurs some 2,000 times in the New Testament. And it means to believe. It means to put your trust in. But let's look at what the Bible says faith is. The only place that it gives us the biblical definition for faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11. And look at what it says in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11. And look at verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith does have substance, though there is no evidence. We do not serve God blindly. It's not a blind faith. If you look at all the things that back up the Bible, there are many, many things that back it up, and nothing disproves it. Archaeologists have been the greatest friend to the Bible that one could ever have. Many that have gone into that field of the Middle East as unbelieving archaeologists have converted to Christ because the evidence was just overwhelming. When they begin to look at, there's lots of holy books, there's lots of spiritual writings, but none have this kind of support that the Bible has. The Bible is not a science book, but when it speaks scientifically, it's accurate. There has not been anything to contradict what the Scripture says. As a matter of fact, amazing things that people had to wait until science caught up before people realized what it was going on. For example, when the Bible talks about how it rains and flows down into the ocean, and then it returns back from whence it came. People didn't understand condensation and didn't understand evaporation, didn't understand that circular nature until really, relatively speaking, not very long ago. They just had to take that by faith. God said it. How in the world do you explain that? There people did not have explanations for it. But God said it, they just believed it, and they waited for man to finally catch up with it and back up what it's true. Man did not understand for many, many centuries that there's actually streams of water flowing in the midst of the ocean. But the Bible says there is, and now man knows that that is so. Certainly man did not know that the world was round. That was a concept that if you look at everyone's explanation for the earth, no one had a circular nature in mind. They had him on the back of an atlas and on a tortoise and on four big pillars. And they had all kinds of suggestions or beliefs or ideas. But it wasn't until modern days that science helped man to understand that the Bible talks about the circular nature of the earth. So it's not a science book, not intended to be a science book. But when it speaks scientifically, it's accurately. I'm simply saying that our faith is not blind. It's not based on something that we have absolutely nothing at all for it to stand up on. But at the same time, faith by its very definition, if God were to allow us to back him into a corner, and there's no way out but to believe, then it would no longer be faith. And God could do that. Just all of a sudden, in front of all of our eyes, an angel could appear. Just, and he's here. Said, "I've got a great message for you. This year, instead of you having to read the Christmas story out of your Bible, I'm just going to tell it to you right out of heaven." God could pass through for a moment to say, "Heidi." And and with our modern day methods of putting everything on satellite TV, boom, that could be beamed around the world. And you don't have any choice but to believe. God could do that. But I don't know why, but faith is a language of God. And he loves faith. He wants you just to believe it because he said it. He wants you to take him at his word. And God will never put you in position to where you don't have any other choice. God will always leave you room to believe, and he will leave you room to not believe. You can always dig up more snakes than you can kill. You could say, but what about this? There's going to always be questions that nobody can answer. And it comes back down to this. Faith is a choice. If you believe this Bible, it's because you have chosen to believe. It's not because there's not things out there that could cause you to disbelieve. When I was at Arkansas State University, I was in a class and the professors asked how many of you are Christians and you're believers and raised his hand. And he said, before this class is over, before this semester is over, he said, many of you are going to question those beliefs. And it was his goal to make everyone doubt. I was a preacher at that time. I was pastoring a church, and all he succeeded in doing me was make me stronger and make me want to get up there and talk a while. But it did cause, and I'm saying to you that you will always be in position. You can believe or you can disbelieve. God will never, ever put you in position where you have to believe. He will always leave you room to doubt if that's what you choose. But I you know, when someone says, well, I just don't have the faith to believe, I wish I did, that's almost laughable. Because what is the alternative? If you don't believe, for example, in creation, if you don't believe God made all this, then what do you believe made it? You believe in evolution, do you? You think everything, this complex society, just evolved? Just happened. No designer. It just happened. Everybody's got eyes on the top instead of on the bottom of the feet. Could have been under an armpit. Just happened. It just happened. You know, it takes a whole lot more faith to believe in evolution. I mean, really, really break that down and honestly ask some questions. I tell you, you can drive every evolutionist nuts. Just ask him, where did that come from? And then when he says, well, it came from a little single cell. Well, where did that cell come from? Well, there was some soup and it came out. Well, where did the soup come from? I mean, when you back it up, where does it go? So it takes faith to believe. It takes faith not to believe. Everybody has faith. We're going to look at that a little while tonight. So look at Hebrews 11 again. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. From this we learn, number one, faith is confidence in God that leads us to believe His Word, the Bible. Faith is confidence in God that leads us to believe His Word, the Bible. You don't have to believe it. You can choose to discard it. You can choose to doubt it. Faith is a choice. I made that choice to believe. Most of you made that choice to believe. Some have made the choice to doubt or disbelieve. It's a choice. Number two, faith is trust in the person of Jesus, the truth of His teachings, and the redemptive work that He accomplished on Calvary. Faith is trust in the person of Jesus, the truth of His teachings, and the redemptive work that He accomplished at Calvary. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Therefore, I believe that my sins are covered by His blood. I believe that I am saved from the wrath that is to come, not by anything that I have done or will do, but by what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Therefore, my belief leads me to be so assured that I can say that I know I'm saved, not because I'm a good person or not because I go to church, or not because I do religious things, But I can say I know that I'm saved because I believe the Bible that says that Jesus died for me on the cross. And by faith, I accept what He did for me. All right? So, what is faith? All right, now number two, why is faith necessary? Why is it necessary? Well, look at Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Who's the Him? God. For he that cometh to God, that's you, that's me, must. What does that mean? You got to do it. It doesn't leave room for any other way. I mean, if you're going to approach God, you're going to have to come by faith. You can't come by doing good works. You can't come by being just a good person. You can't come by being religious. You've got to come by faith. That's the only way you can please Him. I mean, you could do every good religious thing there ever was, but if you don't have faith in God and believe what He says, you're not pleasing to Him. You absolutely must. It says that you must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We all believe that God has a home for us. We believe there's a life beyond this life. We believe that God cares about us. He hears our prayers. He rewards our service. We believe that. And the Bible says that if you come to God, you must believe that. All right? So a person then cannot be saved apart from faith, can they? Because to come to God, you must believe. All right? So from this we learn, why is faith necessary? Number one, because it's necessary to please God. You can't please Him any other way. Anything you do for Him, if it's absent of faith, it's displeasing. God doesn't like the way you did it. It's got to be mixed with faith. Faith is the thing that pleases God. Faith is what gets God's attention. Must be by faith. Turn to Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Why is faith necessary? Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This is the story of the conversion of the jailer in Philippi. And here was a man that was completely unlearned, had no prior knowledge of Christianity. But he knew these people that he had arrested, it was in his jail, were not normal. Instead of cursing and fighting and biting and crying out, I'm not guilty and all of that, they're down there singing. And that was something he was not accustomed to. And so the Bible tells us that after the earthquake came and he found they had not escaped, He said, well, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, that's as clear a question as you'll ever find. What must I do to be saved? Here's a man who does not have any previous background. So whatever he learns now is what he's got to learn to do to be saved. How much do you have to know? Do you have to know the Bible everywhere from Dan to Beersheba to be saved? Do you have to be a theologian to be saved? How far do you have to go? People sometimes criticize that we have children saved. And all the Bible says is you must believe. Can a child believe? They can't answer all the questions, but neither could we. But they can come by faith, can't they? And that pleases God. So this man said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Everybody that is willing to believe, they can be saved. Nothing said about baptism. Nothing said about joining a church. Nothing said about eating wafer bars. Kissing St. Peter's toe. None of that. You simply got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that saves you? It's when you make that choice to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Most people get saved on Sunday mornings before they ever get down here. It's when they make up their mind back there, I'm going to do it. That's when it happens. All the purpose of the prayer is to help clarify. When we have you to go ahead and pray And we ask you those questions. I'll say to you, where is he right now? Is in my heart? Will it be tomorrow? The only purpose of that is just to clarify. When the devil tries to come to you 5 years from now and say, you're not saved, we want you to have something to put back to him. Yes, I am. I want you to know on such and such date at Starlight Baptist Church, I asked Jesus in my heart to be my Savior. You've got something to give back. But most people get saved the moment you made up your mind to believe. That's what saves you. Amen. It's not the calling. It's not the praying. It's the choice to believe. That's where it happens. All right? So the Bible tells us, from this we learn, number two, it is necessary for salvation. You cannot be saved without faith. You've got to have faith in order to be saved. All right? Necessary for salvation. Hebrews chapter 4. Book of Hebrews chapter 4. I love the Wednesday night service because we take a subject and then we just beat it to death with the Word of God. And when you get through, we have looked at that topic from a lot of different verses. These verses are like windows that shed light on this topic. And so look at what it says. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, and look at verse 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." We which have believed do enter into rest. From this we learn, why is faith necessary? It is necessary for rest. You know, you don't have peace in such an unpeaceful world if you don't have faith. You know, we look for 2014, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what I believe God's going to do in our life, in our church life. It's an exciting time, but that's strictly based on faith, because I believe that our hope is not in whether or not the president rides a donkey or an elephant. Our hope is that he rides a white horse. And I believe that Jesus is in control. Amen. And so there is a rest that comes from just knowing, in spite of what it looks like around you and in spite of all the bad things that's happening, we've got a God that's on the throne, isn't he? And he has not lost his strength. He's not lost his ability to intervene. God is still on the throne. And there is rest in that. All right? So from this we learn, why is faith necessary? It's necessary for rest. All right? Turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. What does the Bible say about faith? Acts chapter 26. Look at verse 18. Acts 26 and verse 18. He says to open their eye and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. When you get saved, the moment that you get saved, God sets you apart. You are moved over here. You're in a different group. You're adopted into the family of God. And God, though he is God to every human being on the earth, he is only Father to those that are sanctified, those that are set apart. All right? Now, the Bible tells us our sanctification is twofold. There is the one side of sanctification that is taken care of by God. You have nothing to do with it. God just takes you positionally and sets you aside and sanctifies. The word sanctified means set apart. So you are set apart by God. There is a second part of sanctification that we're in charge of. And the Bible talks about that we're to work out our own salvation. It's talking about now that you are a Christian. Boy, you've got a big learning cycle ahead of you. Now that you're a Christian, everything's got to change. The way you think, the places you go, what's fun, everything has got to change. Your whole concept of the political spectrum turns around everything about you, your thinking is changed. Because the Bible says when you become a Christian in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. And so sanctification has two parts to it, God's part and your part. God's part happens the moment you're saved. He sets you aside. Your part will last as long as you're alive on this earth. You're going to be working from the day you get saved to the day you die to fulfill and complete your sanctification. Amen? All right? And you know why we do that? By faith. We believe the Bible. We believe what God says. We believe there is a way that we should behave. And even if it's not what we want to do in our flesh, in our heart and mind, we believe God. And that's why people that can become Christians and still stay in the world, but they'll never be happy. Because the truth is, in your foundation of your soul, you believe in God. And you can try your best to convince yourself it doesn't matter. And you can get out from under the umbrella of your church and get away from your parents and away from your preacher and get out there and you can join a bunch of worldly friends. But I guarantee you, you'll never get the job done. In your soul, if you're a child of God, you believe God. And there's a way that God's people are supposed to live their life. And it's not the way the world's living theirs. All right? So why is faith necessary? It is necessary for sanctification. By faith is why we make those changes in our life. We do it by faith. Necessary for sanctification. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Why is faith necessary? It says in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is faith necessary? From this we learn, number 5, faith is necessary for justification. Now, justification is a legal term. Before you got saved, you were alienated from God. The Bible teaches us the word sinner means enemy. Now, you might not have thought of yourself as an enemy of God. You never intended to be an enemy of God. But before you were saved, you were a part of the group that's the problem. You were in that group that's rebelling against God, casting off any of His controls, not wanting what He wants for you at all, declaring your independence. You were doing everything you could do to hurt Him and break His heart. And you were alienated from God. And there is a legal penalty for that. And that penalty literally is you have chosen the same choice that Satan chose. That's all he did. He's decided to throw God off. He did not want God running his life. He did not want the position that God appointed him to have. He wanted to be like God. He wanted independence. And so there is a special place created for Satan and his rebellious angels, and it's called hell. It's a burning fire. It wasn't made for you or me. It was made for him. But when you make the choice to follow his lifestyle rather than God's lifestyle, you are alienated from God, separated from God by your sin. You literally become an enemy of God. But when you receive Christ as your Savior by faith, you are made justified legally in heaven's books. You are now taken off of the condemned role, and you put over in the forgiven role, and you are justified as though you had never sinned. All right? So, faith is necessary, from this we learn, number 5, for justification. You cannot have that legal transaction take place except through the medium of faith. You can join the church. We can fill out a card on you. We can baptize you. But that doesn't move you over in heaven until you, by faith, place your trust in Jesus Christ. You went in that baptistry, a dry sinner, and you come out a wet one. And that's the only difference. You're just as lost afterwards as you were before. It's by faith that we're justified. All right? So then, why is faith necessary? It's necessary for justification. Turn with me to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now look at verse 12. John 1, look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So from this we learn, why is faith necessary? Number 6, it's necessary to receive Christ. You can't receive him unless you believe him. If you believe that Jesus was just a man, then there's no way you can have saving faith. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross and he's still in the ground, you don't have saving faith. The message of Scripture is that Jesus was more than a man. He was the God-man. He was born of a virgin. That he never sinned. That he died on the cross for your sins, and he was buried and rose again. That's the gospel message. To be saved, you got to believe the whole gospel message. You don't pick and choose. And so that's why faith is necessary to receive Christ. Amen. All right. And then number 7, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Everybody stand with me. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and look at verse 2. Hebrews 4 and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. There are a lot of people can come every time we preach. We've got people in the church that are listening to us, and some are responding because they mix the word with faith. They believe it. And others sit back there and just try to find every way in the world, try to figure out every question they can to disbelieve it. And you can do that. God will always leave you room to doubt. He'll never force you to believe any. But it tells us that the ones that heard the preaching that profited from it were the ones that mixed faith with it. And the ones that did not mix faith with it got nothing out of it. So from this we learn, number 7, that faith is necessary for assimilation of the Word of God. You can't take it in. It will not benefit you without faith. All right? It's necessary for assimilation of the Word of God. Why faith is necessary. I gave you 7 things. Now, where does faith come from? Where do we get our faith? How do we get faith? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 3. Where does faith come from? Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Underline that. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. From this we learn, God gives to all of us a measure or a potential of faith. Everybody believes You just choose where your belief goes. Man was made to believe. God gave to man a believer. And if you do not, if that belief is not placed in Almighty God, it'll be placed in Almighty man. I'm amused at people that can't believe God, but they'll go to quoting to me some of their favorite man that has written something, and he's God. What he says has got to be right. So everybody believes in something. So God has given to all of us a potential. Everybody has some faith. You go down to the drugstore and get a prescription filled that you can't read by a druggist you've never met. Put something in a bottle that you don't have never heard of before. And you take it home, put it down the throat of your child. That could be poison for all you know. Don't tell me you don't have faith. Everybody has faith. All right? God gives to all of us a measure or potential for faith. Number two, where does faith come from? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, here Paul is teaching about spiritual gifts. We just spent our summer teaching about spiritual gifts. And we understood in that when you become a Christian, God supernaturally gives you gifts or the capacity for gifts. Just like when you were born physically, you have talents or the capacity for talents. There are some people that are just musically inclined. Now, everybody can learn to do a little bit, but you soon run up against a wall if you're trying to play musical instruments and you're not musically inclined. You can get a little ways, and that's as far as you're going to get. But people that are musically inclined weren't born playing a saxophone. They had that capacity for that gift, but they had to work at it, develop their gift. And so people that have a spiritual gift may have never developed their gift. But God gives gifts to everybody when you're born again. Everyone has spiritual gifts, all right? And so it tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. Do you realize that one of the gifts of the Spirit is faith? Now, from this we learn, number two, some have more faith than others. It is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Everybody has faith, but some have a greater capacity to believe than others do. They have a gift of faith. Some people just have a supernatural gift from God to be able to believe God for great things when maybe others would struggle with that. You think about George Mueller, and you read the biography of his life and how that he literally by faith and prayer was able to just see the miraculous hand of God on a daily basis. God gave to him a supernatural ability to believe. So while we all have faith, we don't all necessarily have the same level of faith or even the same capacity for faith. But we can all grow in our faith, can't we? All right? So God gives to all of us a measure or potential for faith. Number two, some have more faith than others. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Number three, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Our purpose tonight is that when you leave, you'll have a better, more rounded understanding of the doctrine of faith. All right? Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who is the one that created faith? Who is the one that gives faith? And who's the one that finishes faith? Jesus. So from this we learn, number three, where does faith come from? Faith comes from focusing on Jesus. He's where it comes from. He's the one that's the finisher of it. So the more you can focus on Jesus, the more faith you're going to have in your life. All right? He is the author and He's the finisher. Faith comes from focusing on Jesus. From this we learn, faith comes from focusing on Jesus. All right? Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Where does faith come from? Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Just having Bible study in the new year. Romans chapter 10. Now look at verse 17. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Excuse me. All right, so from this we learn, faith grows from hearing the word of God. Faith grows from hearing the word of God. Listen to what Acts chapter 4 and verse 4 says. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. So faith comes from hearing the word. Every time you come and hear the word of God preached, every time you read your Bible, every time you go to a Sunday school class, when you come to a Bible study like tonight, the end result of that is your faith grows. It becomes more healthy. It gets stronger. The more you expose yourself to the teaching of the Word of God, the more mature your faith becomes. That's why people who choose to exclude themselves from Bible preaching churches do great damage to their faith. You can read the Bible on your own, and you should. Nothing should ever replace that. But nothing should ever replace the teaching and preaching of the Word either. Remember, this is God's prescribed means and method. He's the one that came up with this idea. Somebody didn't get it at a seminar somewhere. God chose this system because He made you. He designed man, and He knows what makes him tick. And we all need the teaching and preaching of the Word of God if our faith's going to be mature. All right? So faith comes from hearing the Word of God. All right, number five, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. From this we learn, number five, faith comes in answer to prayer. When you pray and ask the Lord to increase your faith, to grow your faith. Now, this is right at the end of our Lord's life here on earth. These disciples have not exactly been textbook examples of strong Christians, have they? I mean, they've been very childish, and they've seen miracle after miracle, and still about half believe. And Jesus has had to prop them up all the way along. They've argued about which one of them is the greatest. And so they haven't exactly been everything that you'd want to be. But boy, how can you explain the change in them? When they went forward, and what a tremendous, the strength that they had, and willing to be martyrs and die for their faith. And Lord, increase our faith. Faith comes in answer to prayer. And then the last one. Mark chapter 9, verse 24. Mark 9.
Mark 9, verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I love this verse. This father was so transparent and so real because he represents every one of us. Every one of us believe, but every one of us have doubts. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Everybody has a but what if lurking in the back of your mind. But faith means that you've chosen to live your life and risk your future on what you believe instead of what you disbelieve. That's what faith is. You made a decision. Could this all just be made up? It's possible. But you chose to believe God's word exactly the way it said. Like I said when we began this study tonight, it's not blindly. You've got many solid things to base it on. But there's always room to doubt. But you've chosen. You're here tonight because you've chosen to believe God. And you've chosen to teach that to your family with the hope that they will continue this when they grow up and teach it to your grandchildren, that they'll not follow the world and go out here and the moment that they get a fresh air of freedom and go against all that they've been taught, that they will choose to live their life based on what they believe instead of what they disbelieve. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. From this we learn, number six, faith still carries doubts. Faith still carries doubts. Let's bow our heads tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed.